Grace, mercy, and peace to you from the living Savior, Jesus Christ. The words of our Lord that we consider this morning are taken from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 24, verses 36 to 47. Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened, and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy, and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" And so they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoken to you while I was still with you, that all things must now be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." So far, our text. Please be seated. In the name of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, with Jesus' victorious death and resurrection, our Savior perfectly completed the mission of his Father that he was given to him, namely, to redeem the whole world of lost and condemned sinners from their huge debt of sin and the stranglehold of Satan and the terrifying and unending death in hell. Now the Lord Jesus turns to us and all other Christians to get the word out of his salvation, both near and far. This is certainly a tall order. But lest we become overwhelmed by this, it is important for us to remember that along with God's command comes the power to carry it out. During the early days of the Christian church, it was the apostles who led the effort of mission outreach. Their taking the lead in mission work didn't mean that they did all the work. Sometimes, well, there was a whole host of common, ordinary Christians who testified of their faith to their neighbors and to anybody who would listen to them to learn about their Savior Jesus. Sometimes folks have a tendency of thinking it's the professionally trained pastors, professors, teachers, and missionaries. They're the ones who are equipped to carry out mission work. Well, in the case of the apostles, like I said before, it was just common, ordinary Christians who spread the word about the living Savior. From time to time in our worship service, we read from the book of Acts, maybe a certain series of scripture readings or a series of sermon studies. And not too long ago, when Pastor Luke was in our midst, he took us through a study of the book of Acts. This is a marvelous book to study because it gives us wonderful examples of how to carry out mission work, not only by the pastors and missionaries, but by every Christian. When we look at, on the day of Jesus' resurrection, we look at the apostles. After Jesus rose from the dead, it's clear to see that they were far from ready of leading an army of Christians to do mission work. gathered together behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. They were afraid to go anywhere. Oh, there were a few that ventured out to go and talk to others, while the rest of them just huddled behind closed doors. As we witness the scene in the pages of Holy Scripture, it should cause us to stop and take a look at ourselves in bearing witness of the living Savior. Are we afraid to go outside the walls of our homes and outside the walls of the sanctuary to talk to others about the living Savior, Jesus Christ? If so, are we hesitant because we're concerned about how people might react to what we say? Or because we're not quite sure what to say? Well, the apostles were fearful, and they didn't know what to say about the gospel in the early hours of that first Easter Sunday. One major truth of the Christian faith the apostles needed to gain understanding is that we have a living Savior. Although Jesus had previously told them that he had to suffer many things and die on the cross and rise again on the third day, for some reason, they didn't seem to remember that. Even when the reports came in on Easter Sunday from the women and from the Emmaus disciples, they didn't believe them. They thought it was some kind of wives' tales. And that same evening, Jesus appeared in their midst. And they couldn't believe their eyes. They thought they were seeing a spirit being. And so Jesus, he appealed to their senses of sight and touch. He invited them to examine his body, to examine the nail prints in his hands and his feet and his side. Handle me and see that I'm alive. And when the disciples still were not convinced of what they had seen and touched, he said, now give me something to eat. A spirit doesn't eat. He showed them he was flesh and blood standing right there before them. How critical it is for the apostles and the other disciples of Christ to be completely convinced that Jesus was truly alive again. This was necessary so that they could serve as eyewitnesses of a paramount fact of Jesus' bodily resurrection. They needed to be eyewitnesses for their own personal faith and for our faith and for all those who would listen to us about Jesus, the living Lord and Savior. The apostles testifies of the importance of Christ's resurrection as he emphatically stated that our Christian faith hinges on Jesus' resurrection. He says, if Jesus hasn't risen, our faith is vain and empty. We're still in our sins. And we're doomed to end up in the eternal death of hell. Christ's resurrection is of absolute importance, his bodily resurrection. But since Christ did rise from the dead, this serves as a bedrock foundation for saving faith, which we rest our faith securely upon, and then we bear witness to others of a living Savior. Quite briefly, Jesus' resurrection proves that he's God and not just man. And as God, he was able to bear the sins of the world when he was on the cross. As God, he was able to suffer the full punishment for all of our transgressions, all of them, past, present, and future. And therefore, it marks our account with him paid in full. All your sins forgiven, without exception. And Jesus' resurrection finally bears witness that because he lives, we too shall live. That is, because he rose from the dead, on the third day, on the last day of this world, we will be raised as he was raised, with a glorified and perfect body, to live in that new heavenly world forever. The Easter celebration just passed means different things to different people. For many, Easter merely means the celebration of the Easter bunny, Easter lilies, colored eggs, and candy, and welcoming the coming of spring. Bushes and trees flowering out, leaves coming out, and plants coming up and blooming. That's about what many of people think that Easter is all about. Easter's on the minds of many people at this time of year. And so if it is, we can talk to them about what Easter really is all about. It's about a living Savior who gives us eternal life. It's not just talking about plants coming out of the ground. It's about God giving us eternal life. There are undoubtedly many in the world who know of Jesus, and that he died on the cross. However, many of them don't know why he suffered and died in this manner. And as we learn from our scripture text, the disciples of Christ, they didn't fully understand about the gospel of Christ either at the beginning. And so Jesus had to help them. In verses 44 to 46 we read, "Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding, that they might comprehend the scriptures. And then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." The Lord Jesus had to remind them what he told them before. I have to suffer and die on the cross, and then I have to rise again on the third day. He had to remind them what the Old Testament prophets had foretold concerning him. Through the use of the powerful word of God, Jesus opened their understanding to know and to believe that what was foretold in the Old Testament was fulfilled in the New Testament in Jesus Christ. What the message? Our salvation, our eternal salvation. When folks hear reference being made to the Bible, there are those who are inclined to dismiss this book as just being a book of do's and don'ts, a rule book. And it would appear that there are many in our day who don't like to hear the don'ts. They don't like to hear that they're sinners. We might hear people say, "Now you don't tell me that I'm doing something wrong, and I won't tell you that you're doing something wrong." Well, we know the Bible isn't basically a rule book. Rather, the central message of the Bible is Jesus, the promised Savior who came into this world to bless us with eternal life in heaven. The Old Testament foretold it, and the New Testament reveals it has been fulfilled. Now, toward the end of the Gospel of John, these are the words that the evangelists wrote. "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Now, what John wrote here doesn't just simply apply to his gospel record, it applies to all of Scripture. "This is written so that you might believe that Jesus is your Savior who gives you eternal life." That is the message of the Bible, the central message. Now, there are, to be sure, do's and don'ts in the Bible. We know them as God's unchangeable moral law, the commandments that apply to all people in every generation of time. And whether or not people like to hear the law and how it applies to them, we're to make use of it in carrying out mission work, that of calling sinners to repentance. Every sinner needs to be hearing the law of God, which exposes our sinfulness and convicts us for it and shows us that we're lost and condemned sinners. Without this, none of them will see a need for a living Savior. I don't need Him. I'm doing just fine. We need to hear the law that exposes and convicts us of our sin and that we need a Savior. So then, everyone is in need of hearing the do's and don'ts of the law. Whether it be in preparation for Christian conversion or maintaining our Christian faith. Will unconverted sinners like to hear their sins exposed? Not likely. Because we have a sinful flesh, none of us like to hear our sins exposed. Will we be able to convince them of their lost condition? This is not our concern, because we're not the ones who open human understanding, convicts a person of his sin, crushes his spirit with sorrow, and makes him ready to learn about a living Savior. That's not what we do. God does that. He works through His powerful Word to convince and convert the lost sinner. When through the powerful Word the Lord brings low the sinner so that he despairs of himself and wants to learn about how he can be saved, that is when we have an opening to talk about Jesus, our living Savior. We can testify to the crucified and risen Lord Jesus, who took away everyone's sins, everyone, by his sacrifice on the cross. And that because of his redemptive work, God declares us forgiven. The whole world. He says, Jesus paid for all your sins. You're forgiven through him. As we share the gospel of Christ, we want our hearers to know that God's forgiveness is unconditional. God doesn't tell us to do this or that in order to merit forgiveness. No. He gives us forgiveness, eternal life, as a gift. It's a free gift of grace. It's nothing that we do to earn or deserve it. It's given to us and received through faith in Jesus. God simply calls us through His Word to repent of our sins and to believe in Christ as our Savior for the remission of our sins. And even as our response of repentance and faith is not something that we manufacture, God, through His powerful, Spirit-filled Word, works repentance and faith in our hearts. As Christian witnesses, we're simply to share the Word. And God will do the rest. What a wonderful blessing it is to know and believe in the living Savior, for He's our life and our salvation. And what a privilege we have to be His ambassadors, to share with others their Savior who gives them life and salvation. May the Lord ever keep us in the Christian faith and bless our efforts of spreading the message of salvation both near and far. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.